Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Sacrament Meeting, our fast and testimony meeting today in the Heatheridge 6th Ward. I'm Bishop Misbach, and I'm pleased to be conducting today's services and wish you a very warm welcome, especially those who may be visiting or who are here with us for the first time. I take it must be raining out there. I've been here for a few hours, so I didn't know, but I see a lot of raindrops on people. So beautiful fall weather we're having. Let me make a few announcements before we begin. First of all, you'll each be receiving a flyer today with details on our upcoming state conference. So pay attention to that and where and when the meetings are. There will be a Saturday evening session on the 18th of November at 7 o'clock p.m. in the Stake Center. There will be a priesthood leadership session, but this year, instead of that being on Saturday afternoon, it is on Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Welcome news to me. Gives us more of our Saturday afternoon, but it's an early morning on Sunday for priesthood leadership. And then the general session on November 19th will be divided. There will be a 10 o'clock a.m. session, which our ward has been asked to attend, but if you prefer, you could also attend the 1 p.m. session. So either of those are an option, but we've been asked to attend the 10 o'clock, and that is in the Stake Center. We're looking forward to our primary program next week, and after this meeting, I'll try to remember to say this again at the end of the meeting, but we'll ask the primary to remain here and for a practice. We'll begin this meeting now by singing hymn number 64, On This Day of Joy and Gladness, following which the invocation will be offered by Brother Rick Francis.
Our dear kind Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the Sabbath day that we can come and gather together as a ward family. We thank thee for our covenants that we're able to renew and for the chance to meet together and to worship thee. Please help us to have thy spirit today. Please help us to be able to have meaningful fasts and to find things in the lessons and testimonies that are born that we can apply to our lives. We love thee, Father. We thank thee for the many blessings we enjoy, and we say these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Could Kelton Wagley join me here at the podium? It is proposed that Kelton Wagley be ordained to the office of priest in the Aaronic priesthood. All those who can sustain Kelton in this ordination, please indicate by the uplifted hand. Any opposed may also indicate. Thank you. We will prepare now for the sacrament by singing hymn number 174, While of These Emblems We Partake.
Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread, to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him, and keep his commandments which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this water to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
I'm pleased to share a few words with you today to begin our fast and testimony meeting. Following my remarks, I just want to issue a little reminder to those of you who share your testimony that if you will state your name, it helps people to get to know everyone in the ward, and it also helps those who are listening to our meeting that's recorded, who are homebound, to know who's sharing their testimony. Although when people share their testimony and they don't say their name, and I've been out of town, it is always kind of a little fun to try to think, who is that voice? And usually I can pick it right out. I know just who it is. And sometimes it takes me a minute longer, and then I say, oh, okay, that's Sister so-and-so. But if you say your name, it's helpful to those who listen to our meetings at home. And then we might just end a few minutes earlier than usual today to give the primary a little bit of extra time for their practice here in the chapel. So if you feel that desire to share your testimony, maybe come earlier rather than later. Let me share a little thing that happened to me this week. My wife sent a picture to me of her and her mother and her sister, who had just completed an escape room. Now, if you don't know what an escape room is, let me just tell you a little bit about it. This is kind of a fad entertainment thing, maybe a craze. They seem to be cropping up everywhere. But the way this works is you voluntarily go to someone and they lock you in a room. And then you have to try to figure out how to escape the room. That's the premise of this form of entertainment. Now, I've done it a couple of times, but it's not my most favorite thing to do, but I can see the entertainment value in it. But it's an interesting thing. You get locked in a room, and in order to find your way out, there are a series of problems, riddles, puzzles, challenges, things that you have to figure out and overcome in order to regain your freedom. And as Debbie was explaining this to her mother, she was like, well, I don't want to do that. That doesn't sound fun at all. So Debbie had to say, no, it's contrived. It's not real. There are people working behind the scenes that you're being watched. And if you need help, there's someone there to help you. And the door isn't actually locked. If you need to leave, you can leave. It's just pretend. It's not real. And so the experience then takes on a whole different meaning. It's now you can relax because you know that this is just for your entertainment. And so I thought about that when we were doing these rooms before. There's a range of emotion. You get challenged, you reach an impossible task, you think, I could never do this, this is impossible. And I remember one time I even forgot that somebody was watching us. And there was a sound, a voice. We heard a voice that said, do you need help? And we're like, oh, yes, we do need help. And so the overarching feeling in this experience is that you know it's going to be okay. You know, no matter what, you're going to you're going to get through this, and in the end, all will be well. And it occurred to me that there's a little analogy in that experience. For some reason, I recalled this week a former young women president, not in this ward, that our daughter had. And this young women president would very often share her testimony with the young women. And her testimony was, she always held up her fingers on one hand, five fingers, and they were the pillars of her testimony, or the main points upon which her faith and her testimony rested. And honestly, I don't know if I could remember exactly which five they were, but it was something to the effect of that she believed in God, our Heavenly Father, a loving Heavenly Father who watches over us, who cares about us, who knows us, who is there for us when we need help, and who answers our prayers. I think another one of those tenets was an elder brother, our Savior Jesus Christ, who atoned for our sins, and by and through his atonement and gospel, we could return to a loving Heavenly Father. And then another tenet was that same God, our Father in heaven, and his Son Jesus Christ appeared in reality to a boy, to a young boy, and through him restored the gospel of Jesus Christ with all of its ordinances, authority, and every tenet of salvation that we need in this life to get through it safely, for it all to be okay in the end. And that through Joseph Smith, he also gave us the Book of Mormon, a tangible piece of evidence and a guide that gives us all of the knowledge we need to get through our challenges, the seemingly difficult times of our life, and stands as evidence of a restoration of the gospel. And I think one of the last one was that we have a modern day prophet, an actual spokesperson for God who is alive and with us and speaks to us and receives revelation and counsel for us in our day, in our experience, for the challenges and trials that we are experiencing. And on those five principles, she rested her faith. I thought there is a comparison there of our own custom-made escape room, our own experience that we have here in mortality of dealing with seemingly insurmountable challenges and trials, things that seem at the time that maybe we can never get through, but that we are never alone. And that there is a plan. There are those working behind the scenes who understand the big picture and who know how this is going to all turn out. And we have that same assurance. We have that same assurance that even though we don't know how, we don't know why, and even though we have the joys and sorrows and struggles and trials, that in the end, it's all going to be okay. It changes our perspective of what we're going through. It makes it doable because we know it's all going to be okay. Even in the most difficult of times, a week or so ago, we got some tragic news in our house about a dear friend who had passed away, and a lot of circumstances surrounding that tragedy. This was a young father, young children, a daughter, his eldest daughter on a mission, serving a mission on Temple Square. So difficult. And yet, this young father's mother, she sent a message to Debbie. It was actually during sacrament meeting, I think, last week. And she spoke of the peace that she spoke of, the blessings that she and her family were experiencing at even a moment of such difficulty. And I paused to reflect, how can that be? How can someone going through something so difficult recognize her blessings and even in that moment recognize that it was going to be okay? It was going to be all right. In her case, she had the wisdom and experience of having been through this before. She'd lost her husband and another child, and now this child. So I was learning from her life experience that, in fact, through a loving an inspired plan of salvation, a plan that we all understood and agreed to, she knew that all would be well, that she was awaiting a wonderful, joyous, and glorious reunion, and that through this trial, joy and happiness awaited her. I am so grateful. I am so grateful for that plan. I'm so grateful that we are not alone, and so grateful that it's all going to turn out great in the end. I have that faith and that testimony, and I leave it with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My name is Joni Bennett, and I am so happy to be here today. I'm really a summer person. The summer is my favorite time of the year. But this month and next month, with the holidays of Thanksgiving and Christmas, are my favorite times of the year. Thanksgiving, with all that it brings, with gratitude and thankfulness for all that we have. And Christmas, with the hope, joy, and belief of greater things ahead, especially now that we know about the atonement and what all that Christ did for us. Yesterday, I had the privilege of going to Payson to see my grandson be baptized and ordained by his father. His father, who was not a member of the church at the time that he married my oldest daughter. And they've been married about 20 years, and he has been a member for quite a while, and they've gone through the temple. But to see the growth in that family, and to see, it just makes me so joyous to see all that Rich has gone through and the person that he has become because of the gospel in his life. I'm so grateful that I was raised in the church. I'm grateful that I had parents that taught me how to be a good person, even though I wasn't always a good person. I'm grateful that I have a husband who honors his priesthood, because that brings so much into our family. I'm grateful for the plan of salvation, for the knowledge that through the atonement that we can be forgiven for all the mistakes that we make, because we're not perfect and we never will be. I know that this church is true. I'm so grateful for the Prophet Joseph Smith. And Phil, it was so unfortunate for all the persecution that he had to go through to make our lives be better. I know that God loves us and that he wants the best for us. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My name is Arthur Boyarjian. Thank you, Bijou, for your testimony. There's a song that said it's a wonderful time of the year. And it is a wonderful time of our lives. Let me start by telling a couple of stories, if I may. Every week I go to the MTC and I met some return missionaries. And in the course of the conversation, he said to me, I was in a plane, he said, and a gentleman was sitting next to me. And we start talking. And he asked me where I was going, and I told him I'm going to serve a mission. And they start talking about the gospel and about prophets. And he told him that we have a prophet in these latter days. And he said, I don't know nothing about it. He said, I know they have prophet in the Old Testament, but now in this day, I don't know. And then gentleman turned to him and mockingly said, when is the last time your prophet talked to you? And this young man, bless his heart, he had the ensign with him. He opened it up and then I said, this is what the prophet said to us last month. Read about it. And I said to myself, bless this young man. What a great idea. And about a couple of Sundays ago, or last Sunday, I think it was, we had a meeting with the young woman and the young man all together. And I said to you, young people, I'm proud of you. I'm really proud of you. The way you comport yourself, the way you conduct yourself, I'm amazed, not really, because you are a valiant spirit and keep it up. Another experience that I had, maybe it's worth saying, repeat it. Maybe you know about it, maybe you don't. About in June, I think it was June, yes. Maybe you know the story, but it's worth listen to it again. The sisters of the Relief Society came to watch over my wife so I could go to the temple. And I went to the Pueblo Temple, and it was closed. So I said, okay, I'm going back home. As I was turning around, the voice of the Spirit said to me, go to the city center temple in Provo. I said, okay, sounds like a great idea. So I turned around, I went to the city center, and by the entrance, it was an empty spot for my car. I parked there, went inside. They directed me where to change, went up in the chapel. They were leaving to go to the endowment room. I followed them, and I sat down. And as I was sitting down, I was meditating. As I was meditating, I was asked Father in heaven, I said, Father, all this tribulation, the thing that I'm going through, and my wife's sickness, why? Why all this? Why do I have to go through this? Why? Asking that question. And as I was asking that, Father, speak to me. And he said, my son, be of good cheer, because what you're going through now, it's nothing, he said, compare what I went through when they crucified my son. So I said, okay, Father, I got the message. Before my wife passed away, we were talking, about 3 months before that. She knew she was going to go. And we were talking, and I asked her, I said, when you're on the other side of the veil, I said to her, if it's possible, I said, come back either to me or Chris. We were all three of us talking to her. And she said, I don't know. He said, if I have the choice or permission, I don't know. And then that was it. Then the 7th of August, she passed away. And 3 weeks later, I was sleeping. All of a sudden, I woke up. And it was a watch in front of me, and it was 3 o'clock in the morning. It was dark. I woke up and I turned my head on the right, and I saw my wife standing there. She was surrounded with bright light. She was like in her 30s. She was beautiful, beautiful. She was like maybe 4 or 5 inches taller, well-dressed, well-groomed, beautiful. She smiled at me. She didn't speak, but in her smile, I could see that she was saying, you're doing the right thing. Continue that path. You're doing okay. And then she left, and I didn't see her anymore. But she was beautiful, I'm telling you. Sometime, you know, I picture this. I'm in front of my Savior, like a wedding room type of thing. And the Savior called my name, and he might say, Arthur Boyajian, I am your advocate between you and the Father. So give me something that I can help you with. And you're going to ask me maybe a question like, did you do home teaching? Father, I mean, Lord, I tried. Did you do temple work? Lord, I tried. Did you do genealogy? Lord, I tried. And in life, it's we're trying to do our best. Next month, I'm going to go and see my brother in France. I don't know if I'll be back. I don't know. I don't know what the Lord has in mind for me. But I want you to know, brothers and sisters, sometime when we are young, our spouse or wives are great looking, handsome and all that, as we're getting older, we get maybe wrinkle here, wrinkle there. We're not number 10 anymore. But I want you to remember something, that at the resurrection, your wife, she's going to be number 10. She's going to be the most beautiful woman in the universe. Remember that. And this is a suggestion. You hold her of the priesthood. Hold on to that priesthood. Because if you lose that priesthood, you got nothing. Because the world has nothing to offer, I'm telling you. So hold on to your priesthood. Honor your priesthood. Keep it sacred. Because this is the greatest thing in the universe you can have, the priesthood of God. And I am thankful that I have this priesthood. I know that Joseph Smith was a prophet of God, that he restored his churches in this latter day upon the earth. From the bottom of my heart, from the fibers of my bone, I know it. I leave this with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Several weeks ago, when I attended the regional conference and Brother Stevenson spoke, you will remember that he challenged us to get into preach my gospel and pick one of the 9 Christ-like attributes that were mentioned about the Savior. And I did something a little foolish. I picked patience. And you know what happens when you pray for patience? You get all of the wonderful opportunities to exercise it and to increase it, but it comes at quite a price. But one of the great blessings that came as I studied about patience in Preach My Gospel there under the topic, oh, and by the way, my name is Gail DeGraff. Yay, I remembered. One of the topics, or one of the scriptural references, is found in Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. Cutting out a few of the somewhat extraneous words, it basically says, "And we glory in tribulations, for we know that tribulations worketh patience, patience worketh experience, and experience worketh hope." I was so struck by that scripture because tribulations are very hard to deal with, and we live in a time of great tribulations, incredible tribulations. Almost everybody you talk to these days is really struggling mightily. But tribulations bring experience, and experience brings hope. And the very first part of that is patience. I glory in tribulations, not all the time. Some days I think, oh, for Pete's sake, I can't take this anymore. But in hindsight and in careful analyzation, I can see what great blessings tribulations are. And as we move closer to the time when the Savior will come, which I don't know about you, but I'm praying for it all the time because it's getting harder and harder. But I'm grateful that we have the opportunity to have opposition in our lives, to learn how to deal patiently with the things that happen to us, to have the experience and the hope. The greatest gift that I believe our Savior provided for us is hope. Hope that we can be reunited with our Father in heaven. Hope that we will have eternal life. Hope that we will live with our families. I have two daughters who have left the church, and I have another daughter who had a 15-year terrible battle with drugs. But she gives me hope because she's now 4 years sober. And to be able to overcome the terrible, terrible tribulation that that was, not only for her but for our family, gives me hope that the other two will be able to see where goodness lies. I'm so grateful for the Savior, for his perfect mission. I'm so thankful that he never turned back. I love him. I love our Father in heaven. And I'm grateful for the spirit I feel in this ward. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My name is Dennis Buman. It's been about 60 years since I was introduced to the Church of Jesus Christ. I was raised in a Christian church with good parents who taught me to do what was right. But when I was introduced to the Church of Jesus Christ, it took me a while to accept it. In fact, I knew it was true before I was baptized, because there were some things that were bothering me. Not so much with the church, but with, I wasn't sure I could live all these things. But I finally realized that the church was true, the gospel was true, and I had to put up or shut up. So I joined the church. What a great experience it's been for me these last 60 years. I am so grateful for the gospel. I'm so grateful for Jesus Christ, to understand and know more of him and why and who and what he is and what he does. I'm grateful to know that God is real. He's personal. He's not abstract. He's not just some unknowable being, but he is really my Father in heaven. I know these things are true. I know the gospel is true, and I testify in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I made it. Walking from the back row, that's always really scary. My name is Hannah Decker, and me and my husband Ryan and my parents had the really incredible opportunity these past couple weeks to visit some countries over in Europe. Ryan's parents are serving a mission in Croatia, and right now they're specifically in Serbia. And so we got the opportunity to go to church with them, and it was really humbling. They had about four people in their branch, total members, and the rest of them were missionaries. They had about six missionaries, or eight, I guess, including his parents, and then me and Ryan were there, and so there were small numbers, but it was amazing the dedication that we could see from these members. And it just made me feel really grateful that I can come to church on Sunday and that I have an entire gym of people that care about this gospel and are willing to share their testimonies and share their experiences with me. The other thing I was really touched by in Serbia is that the people there have very little, and that's always, it's always really amazing when people who have so little are willing to share so much. We had two of the members invite me and Ryan and his parents over for dinner, and they went all out. They made, you know, a several course meal, and it was all very traditional Serbian food, and you could tell that they were very excited to have people there that they could share and share what they had with us. And the husband didn't speak any English, and his wife is also the translator in the ward, and so all the conversation that we had was with her, and then she would translate. And it was just a really special experience. And when me and Ryan got married, this is going to come across the wrong way, so listen to everything I say. You should listen to everything I say anyway, but especially listen to this. But when me and Ryan got married, I was kind of disappointed because I was about to turn in my mission papers. And I've always really looked forward to serving a mission, and it was something that I didn't get the opportunity to do. And that's not a bad thing about Ryan, because being married has also been really great. But in my life, I've had the opportunity to do missionary work over and over and over and over, which has been really incredible. But I don't think I would have had the opportunity to do so much missionary work if I hadn't been wanting to. There's always people that are ready and willing to listen to the gospel, but you have to be courageous enough to share. And I've had that happen to me numerous times where I've been scared to share what I believe and afraid that someone's going to look at me like, the word of wisdom, what is that? That has also happened to me. And it probably sounded like I was a weirdo, but you know, I've tried anyway just to share what I believe, and whether people choose to accept it or not is up to them, but at least you know that you're planting seeds everywhere you go. And I just wanted to bear my testimony about missionary work and being that light to the people around you, and not being afraid to share your testimony, and also to be aware of your actions. I know this is something that I can always work on, but people watch you, the people you work with, the people you go to school with, the people in your family. Everybody watches you and watches your actions and watches the things you say, and you want to make sure that you're setting a good example for them. There's that little poem that goes, oh, I always forget. It's something like, Somebody's watching, and that's a fact. Somebody will copy the way that you act. So make this your motto and put it to use. Be someone's example and not their excuse. I made sure to memorize that when I heard it because I thought, oh my goodness, someone is always watching. It kind of makes you a little bit scared, but also gives you a reminder that people are watching what you do and what you say. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you very much, brothers and sisters, for being here and for all who participated in this wonderful meeting. We will close now by singing hymn number 303, Keep the Commandments, following which the benediction will be offered by Sister Heather Holdaway, and a reminder to our primary to stay here in the chapel.
Father in heaven, we are thankful that we could come to this meeting today to hear the testimonies of others and to feel of their spirit. We are so thankful for thy gospel and for the blessings that it brings to our lives. Please bless those in our ward that may be struggling or who are not doing well with their health, that they can have thy comfort and thy blessing. Please bless us that we can also listen to the lessons that will be taught today, that we can learn and to feel of thy spirit. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.